uncharted territories, I feel like. You know, this is not the first time we've seen a shortage on food. I feel like this has been recent since the pandemic started back in 2020. It's just coming more into the light now because people are back outside, things are fully open now, people are traveling, all the things above, right? And everything is just going up with inflation, you know, cost of living. I think they said everywhere in the United States is going to be two bands and up very soon to live anywhere, which is egregious.
That should be.
We already talked about the gasoline prices constantly going up. That's why I'm trying to go electric very soon in the near future. Food is going up. Whether it's, even if it's a dollar or two, that makes a difference. Fam, that makes a huge difference.
Oh, of course, of course. I was talking to the shorty about the same thing, and she was saying like a lot of, or I'm saying a lot of the things that we can do as a census, is being taken away, and it's starting to become like a two household, or I'm not two household, but a two paycheck household type shit. You know what I'm saying? To where like you can't really afford too much of shit unless you got somebody that's like not even like bearing half of it, but still backing you up on shit like that, because everything is just either one, unattainable because it's sold out, you can't get access to it, or two, it's just way too expensive.
And capitalism, right? We live in America, so with that comes capitalism, and it should be no reason why minimum wage is still, was it 750, 725? It's still 725 in some regions. You know what I'm saying? The New Yorks and Californias of the world, they're obviously gonna pay a little bit more because of the cost of living to be out there.
But is it still even, you know what I'm saying, like livable? Like minimum wage is a thing for what reason? I don't know, but like, you know what I'm saying, that's still depending
We
on where
know
you
why. We know why it's minimum
live.
wage, but
But is it still like livable wage? Is it still something that you can cohabitate
no. To answer your question, no.
on?
And people always, you know, express the sentiments of I should get paid more. I should have more benefits. You know, I should be, you know, taken care of better at this company. Everybody has their own plight on why they should be taken care of, but especially now, this should show. These pharmaceutical or, you know, these big corporations, wherever you work, whatever, you know what I'm saying, whatever land you work in, this should just show you why your employer should be paying you more. Because everything is up. And I don't think it's going to go down anytime soon, if ever at all. We're entering a recession is what it looks like. And I'm just trying to brace myself, bro, as best as I can.
It's a crazy place that we live in. I was actually watching this old interview from Nip, and he was basically explaining like why, you know what I'm saying, we as the people can't progress further because we don't have institutions and systems set up to back us up. Everything that we have is either separate or, you know what I'm saying, we as melanated people like tear that shit up. You know what I'm saying? And it's not because we are like we can't come together, or we can't, we've seen that, but it's not, you know what I'm saying, because we're terrible people, we just don't know how to. It's literally because we have no backup. Nothing is set up for us to win. When you have institutions, when you have people in places to take things and to provide support and you know what I'm saying, actually push your will, you get stuff done. So it definitely is, you know what I'm saying, expletive of how we live, how we can't live, both.
And to piggyback off of that, bro, us as melanated people, I think we need to continue to have these conversations and continue to conversing and figuring out what's the next plan of action. Because this certain part, you know, there's certain things that we get together on, you know, when it comes to protesting, when it comes to I guess our pop culture stuff. We get behind certain things that we want to back, but when it comes to the very important conversations or the very important legalities that need to change, I feel like we're not heard enough. You know what I mean? There's not enough people backing it to where we're all on one accord to get something accomplished.
No, you're definitely right. And a gem that I heard that goes, you know what I'm saying, hand in hand with that is just the fact that it's not, you know what I'm saying, our violence that's the threat, you know what I'm saying, black on black crime or whatever the fact is. It's our love that's the threat. If we come together and we show love and we support and we create institutions and systems that are for us, that's when they get nervous. That's right. When you're saying all the shit starts happening and all the oppression, regression, whatever words you want to use to describe it. It's because of the love.
And I think since day one on this platform, me and you have both discussed how important it is, the value of our dollar to begin with, right? To share and have that dollar amongst our community as long as possible, because we're quick to go to, you know, a Chinese restaurant, or we're quick to go to a Walmart, or we're quick to go to an Amazon to, you know, to purchase whatever we need to because of convenience. And we've just been, you know, taught by society, and it's just been constant, a nonstop, you know, so it's just really just unlearning some of those methods. And if you can, man, share that dollar with your brother that's selling clothes, or share that dollar to, you know, this person that makes food. You know, we don't always have to depend on them, the powers that be, to supply us with, you know, food and all this other, you know, everything else that we need as a necessity when it comes to life. I feel like just managing that ambiguity and just challenging ourselves to keep the dollar within our community before we, you know, splurge and get that spanky elsewhere.
No, I like the way you put that. Managing ambiguity. That's a Fendi. That's a bar for sure. Mm-hmm. Learning how to do that in a bigger aspect, on a bigger playing field, is definitely one of the things that I feel like will, if not like push the envelope, start to change our plight as Black people. Mm-hmm. I feel like it'll definitely be, if not, you know what I'm saying, the start, it'll be the cause.
Right.
But hey man, let's go ahead and like intro this thing, man. That was nice. I like that. We here. Take this.
Yeah.
Take this. Please. Thank you.
What's going on?
Yeah, man.
You know, peace and serenity. What's going on, peeps? It's Trey.
And it's Scott checking back in, man.
Yes, Sirski. Welcome back to another harmonious episode of the Bro Chillians podcast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Episode 152.
152 of them guys, man, with your oh so blessed Black and highly favored host. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we fresh off of our 3-year episode. So if y'all haven't checked that out yet, make sure y'all take a gander from last week.
It's a classic.
Definitely some great banter. And that was probably one of my favorite episodes too, man, just looking back at what we kind of talked about. And I'm at the point now where I was over at a friend's crib the other day. He started playing our podcast randomly. This might have been episode 20-something, 130-something. And I'm just hearing the banter and the conversation between us back and forth. I'm like, yo.
That's lit.
Insane, yo. Like, just kind of seeing, I guess, what we struggled with at the very beginning episodes and just trying to find our niche and our chemistry and camaraderie and just seeing where we're at now, bro. It's just a blessing to look at to me, man. I can't really express enough gratitude of how happy I've been just hearing our conversations or consistently doing this.
Nah, it's honestly like, it shocks me every time, because like we get so much love, you know what I'm saying? And it's in different ways. Like I had so many people hitting my jack about last week's episode too. And just like speaking on the way that we, you know what I'm saying, kind of handled the topics, you know what I'm saying? How we just, you know, not even just banter, but how we discuss, how we show love and then give whatever condolences, whatever light, whatever needs to be, you know what I'm saying, given. They fuck with it. So we appreciate the first timers.
The last timers.
And the in-betweeners, man, for coming back week after week, showing much love, you know what I'm saying, because we on everything. We appreciate y'all for turning that post notification bell on, because we on YouTube. We got some joints on there. excuse me. And however else you do watch, however else you do listen, you know what I'm saying? Love y'all.
How's your mental this week, King? How are you feeling?
Man, I can honestly say like I'm happy, bro. Like I'm really good. I think it's definitely a progression every, you know what I'm saying, every day, every week. But I'm learning myself, finding myself. And then on top of that, like when you think that you're moving in your purpose and your passion, you know what I'm saying? It makes everything that much brighter. It makes everything that much more purposeful. So yeah, it's like, it's awesome. Like I just started working on this project for Juneteenth. And it's like the fact that I can do what we do on top of celebrate like us in a non-traumatic way. And for it to be like on a holiday that we just got, like the representation is there type shit. So it's always like a dope ass feeling, bro. So I'm happy, man.
That's beautiful.
How are you? Where are you?
Yeah, that's great to hear. I'm excellent. You know, I've been in the same spirits. I've been riding this high of just excellent positivity and just really happy. You know what I mean? Just really in a happy space. And I don't know if it's because of the weather, if it's summertime. I don't know what it is, bro, but I'm just going to continue to ride it, you know? Pause. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to continue to ride this high if you get what I'm putting down, bro.
No, no doubt.
First and foremost, man, I just got to thank God for being here and just kind of leading me through my endeavors. You know what I'm saying? Like when I pray, I don't usually ask for something. I just say, you know, just continue to guide me and show me the way. You know what I'm saying? You show me the ropes. Yeah. You show me which path I need to take. And again, I'm just gonna follow in suit right behind. So that's just kind of where I've been. Today is my first day off. I worked a week straight. So this was kind of my lazy day. I was trying to be super productive, but I had just no motivation or I just didn't have a desire to, I want to, you know, get up and clean and do this and do that. And that's okay. Sometimes you do have those lazy days where you just want to take a day to yourself and chill.
It's definitely okay. I'm going to cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, I feel like as humans, sometimes we find ourselves guilty when we have those lazy days and we're just sitting on the couch, eating ice cream, watching television, you know, just kind of finding ways to decompress. We feel this guilt inside, at least I do. And it's just like, damn, I should be up doing this right now. I should be up doing the podcast right now. I should be doing, you know what I'm saying? Finding another stream. So it's just that little bit of guilt that you feel sometimes when you finally decompress and relinquish energy and finally do something for yourself. I feel like is when we kind of feel that guilt trip.
So I will agree with you. I definitely do have those moments too, where it's like, I feel guilty because I'm not going as hard as I know as I can for what I want to do. But also, you know what I'm saying? We got to realize too, that like you giving much of yourself and your time to somebody else. So it's okay. It's okay to have those decompression days, those shit. I just worked a whole week for, you know what I'm saying, somebody else's company. I just gave the best of me making somebody else's company better or whatever the case is, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's completely okay for that to happen, I think, in my opinion. Now, if you make it a everyday thing, you know what I'm saying? That's when you kind of get a little overboard because, yes, we need those times, but also I feel like there is much, I would say it maybe it's hindsight too. Hindsight is always 2020, but as much love and as much joy and knowledge in grinding that shit out. You know what I'm saying? Like maybe you don't feel like going to the gym, but take your ass in there and you feel better afterwards. You know what I'm saying? You might feel terrible in the moment because you're working, but like afterwards it's like, damn, you know, it's much success and happiness in actually doing that shit. And you make you a better you.
Of course, I'm in concurrence. And I can even take it a step further. You know, we feel that we need to unlearn that from our psyche. Even when we go on vacation or spend money on ourselves, we feel the same way, at least I do. I'm like, damn, I really need to spend $40 on dinner tonight. You know what I'm saying? It could have been utilized towards another bill or, you know, a priority I had to take care of. Or if I'm out, you know, in Cali on vacation or in Florida, you know, damn, I'm off for 4 days. I really should be, you know what I'm saying, writing the next script on whatever topic we're about to talk about or, you know, kind of work on my next endeavor. But sometimes, man, I don't know, the feeling of vacation, the feeling of spending money yourself, the feel of doing anything when the focus is on yourself, it just feels so illustrious and enjoyable, man. And you really got to soak that up like a sponge because it really feels good to cherish and love yourself. Because you know what I always tell you, bro, you got to love yourself before you love anybody else.
Big facts. And that's a process. That's a journey. I'm still trying to like, so it's, what do I say? Actively growing, you know what I'm saying? I'm still trying to find new ways on how I can love myself because we are forever changing. We are forever progressing. So I think that's an active battle, but definitely in concurrence with that though, you do have to love yourself first. But it looks different, you know what I'm saying? In every facet of life and different points of life, it looks different, so.
Actually, that kind of that kind of introduces the first topic that I have for you, bro. I just wanted you to kind of chop it up on what helps your growth and development. What's advantageous to you when it comes to your day in and day out on being a better version of you, whatever that looks like.
Right. So I'll go in order chronologically, right? Like from the time I wake up, I have my quiet time with the big guy up there. You know what I'm saying? I decompress. I give him all of my doubts. I give him all of my, you know what I'm saying, curiosities, and then I thank him. You know what I'm saying? We chop it up a little bit, and I go on my walk. I go on a walk every morning and every night, just to, like, you know what I'm saying, whether it is prep talk, whether it is getting my mind right, whether it is like just exuding whatever demons, whatever, you know what I'm saying, shit, whatever monkey I got on my back, that's my walk. That's my meditation for me. And then from then on, it's either the gym or scripting, whatever the case, whatever I got going on that day. But it's all in making sure that I can give my best self without even really like thinking about it, I guess, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? I just want it to be kind of like a very fluid thing. I don't want to have to, you know, I feel like we as people, we block our own blessings when we are so focused on doing one thing and not just being receptive to what the universe can bring you. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So I'm trying to make that part of myself a very fluid motion, to where, like, I don't have to think about being my best self. It's just, I'm here in this moment, and I'm just gonna be me. I'm gonna do me. And whatever that looks like, whatever that feels like, 9 times out of 10, I'm pushing for that to be my best self.
That's wonderful, man. I appreciate you for sharing.
Yes, sir. What about you, though?
I mean, mine's is not super compelling. I would say mine's are, you know, we got some similarities. You know, I wake up and thank the man above. That's the first thing I do before I even check my phone, before I use the bathroom. Like, I'm saying thank you for another day. Thank you for another week, another month. We're about to enter June. This is the first June podcast. Right. But yeah, just, you know, just expressing grace and gratitude for, you know, just letting me be alive. Sometimes I do utilize my journal and just kind of write down whatever I'm feeling in that moment, whether it's, you know, sadness, happiness, confusion, curiosity, inquisitiveness, everything, anything that I'm feeling, I just write it down. I look at my journal as a form of therapy for me. I try to fit in a little bit of reading each and every day, at least 10 minutes at the bare minimum. And yeah, it's pretty much the same sentiments as you, man. Go outside, see nature, get my endorphins up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing like some sun, some trees, flowers, that kind of thing. Working out if I have the bandwidth to. Like, again, some of these days are very hectic for me. So it's really just kind of accomplishing and getting done everything I can in the span of 24 hours. Because when you break it down, you sleep for 8 hours. If you work that day also, that's another 8 hours. Yeah. So you got how much left?
8 more.
Right. So it's really just finding that consistent schedule, and not even just squeezing, but getting into a routine of what you're going to do each and every day. You know what I mean? Once you have a routine, it makes you more detail-oriented, and I think it just makes you just better. You know what I'm saying? Literally, just talking about growth. It makes you better.
Yeah. And I did want to add too, I made it a habit to my first hour of the day, I don't pick up my phone. Like, I'm not on social media, you know what I'm saying? I'm not having conversations. I'm not, like, unless you're in my presence. But that's something that I do find that helps me a lot. I take that first hour of the day just to, like, because you know how they say, like, and obviously we know because we experience it on a daily basis, but the social media aspect of life is what molds your mind and what drives the rest of your day, what drives your perspective and how you feel about things. So I try not to let anything cloud me for that first hour, just so that my mind is clear and I can create. And then after that hour, I tell my people I love them, because I get a lot of my inspiration and a lot of, like, my, like, perspective and creativity from the people that are in my life. So I'm going to hit you, you know what I'm saying? We're going to chop it up, whatever the case is. And then, yeah, I'm going to go about it like that.
And I challenge us before the end of the year comes to at least be off of social media for at least a month, month and a half, because I'm not gonna lie, it's difficult for me and you, for the brand that we have and the business that we have, to not be on social media, because it's so insightful, it's so helpful, it's so beneficial. Sometimes you need to disconnect. You know what I mean? Like, again, social media is a facade. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Some of the things are very knowledgeable, and some of it is positive. I'll be lying if I said it wasn't. You know what I'm saying? It depends on what your algorithms are and what it feeds you. And so that's the difficult part too. It's just kind of, I don't want a robot or an AI to think for my, you know, to think for me. You know what I'm saying? I'm able to think up and come with my own ideas and not cloud my memory or cloud my judgment on how I feel, what I think. So I think just kind of breaking away from social media sometimes, because we did that last year.
Right. It paid off.
Yeah, it paid off a lot. So I want to do that soon. I want to continue that journey of, you know, taking my breaks from social media. I just think sometimes it's difficult when you utilize it as a platform, is what I'm trying to say. And when you utilize it as a tool to enhance and optimize your business, it can be difficult.
No doubt. Sheesh. All right, so listen. You didn't already drop a 20 ball in the first like 5 minutes of the quarter. Right. You segue, King, or how we doing this? What we got going, man?
I introduced the first topic, so I'm gonna kick things to you, man.
Okay, let me see. I got some bullshit on here. You know me. I got some bullshit on here, and then I got some shit that we definitely need to talk about. Definitely need to get perspective. What you want first? Bullshit or?
Hey, I'm here. You running the offense. You bringing the ball up the floor.
Okay, so since we actually kind of started on this type of conversation, I did want to, I don't know if you saw it, but saw the headline today that says Texas representative seemingly blames rap music and video games for the recent elementary school shooting. It's in Uvalde. I don't know how to say it.
Rap lyrics and music.
Yeah.
Or you said rap lyrics and music. Video games.
So I wanted to kind of get your opinion on it. Like, do you find that to be,
bro,
obviously not the driving force of why things happen, you know what I'm saying? But is it
bro, to be honest with you, man, I don't have a take, and here's why. Well, this is a take that I'm about to give, but I just I really don't have sentiments on. Because everybody's playing the blame game right now. Everybody's pointing fingers on each other. Who's in the right? Who's in the wrong? You know, since we, you know, talked about that tragedy last week, you know, more details have, you know, come out and developed. And just hearing those horrific stories from the children all the way down to the husband of the teacher who passed away. He died, I think, the very next day from a heart attack. My heart feels, man. My heart feels. Like, I couldn't even imagine if it was my little brother or little cousin, or if it was my children that were going to school, you know, one day, a normal, was it Wednesday, Thursday when this happened? I don't even remember what day it was, but just hearing that devastating news and not seeing the people that are in Congress or in these committees, you know, not trying to make a change about it. It's so fucking frustrating, bro. Cause I'm so sick and tired and done with the thoughts and prayers. It's only so many thoughts and prayers we can give out each and every week, man. And it's just frustrating. It breaks me down. It really does. So I hate it. Me and you both can concur that video games and any genre of music is not causing mass shootings. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's ridiculous. But I will be remiss if I didn't say we do live in a world where, you know, that kind of stuff does sell, you know, corruption, war, violence, you know, that's the stuff that we as the people like. You know what I'm saying? We see it in our television shows, we see it in our movies, you know, we hear it in our music. But again, I think for this specific topic, when it comes to mass shootings, I think that's the scapegoat. I think they're just trying to play the blame game right now, because somebody needs to be held responsible, because that could have been prohibited. That could have been, something could have been altered. You know what I'm saying? 19 children didn't have to lose their lives, or however many, you know, as the details continue to surface and come out. I don't mean to be long-winded here, but
no,
that's really what I've been feeling, man. I I've just been in a space where it's just like, fuck.
Yeah.
So you can be happy. You know what I'm saying? You can be in your bubble, but at the same time, it's hard not to feel for a situation like that. Or feel for, you know, last week was 2 years since George Floyd's passing. You know, it's hard not to have those emotions when the world, you're constantly just seeing it, hearing it, feeling it each and every day.
Right. Yeah, nah. So I'm in concurrence, you know what I'm saying? And I wanted to get your opinion on it because, like, I was watching this video and this queen actually made a great point, but I do think it is like a blame game, you know what I'm saying? Because for one, like you said, yes, the bullshit is glorified. All that shit sells. But I feel like when it comes to the outside looking in on our culture, on how we do things, you know what I'm saying? We are the only race that in my opinion, and I could be on Gilligan, y'all let me know. But we are the only race that is like looked at in retrospect, looked at for what we're not doing or what we're doing wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you think about it, like, and this is what the queen made a great point about. But when we were younger, when we were, you know what I'm saying, kids, there were how many commercials did we see about, you know what I'm saying, just like, oh, if something went wrong in school or something went wrong in the public, like, you're going to see, oh, take your children to do this, to therapy. Like, what are you not doing for your kids or whatever the case is? Like, how is parenting going wrong at home? Because there has to be something wrong. When, you know what I'm saying, if you show up to school and your hair not done, they gonna call the crib, like, something's going on. Like, is everything okay? Like, what are you not doing at the crib type shit? And for that perspective, I feel like that headline is exactly that, because you're blaming, you know what I'm saying, yeah, culture, you're blaming rap music for things that are going wrong in life.
Yeah, it's playing the blame game. It's being ignorant. It's a multitude of things, bro. Like, even I seen the NRA members say, I'm not the one who pulled the trigger. You know what I'm saying? Like, just ignorance like that. It's just like, bro, like, are you kidding me, like, right now? And if I'm not mistaken, at the NRA meeting, they weren't even allowed to bring guns. So if you're not even allowed to bring guns to an NRA meeting, don't exactly get down this rabbit hole. But like, there should be definitely some form of gun control. I'm all about, you know, the right to bear arms, the right to defend yourself. Exercise your amendment, exercise your right, for sure. But again, we need to double down on, okay, why does this gentleman need an AR-15 or an AK-47? You know what I'm saying? Let's really do our research. It's more checkpoints to getting your driver's license or getting a passport than it is to just, you know what I'm saying, to cop a weapon, which is sick.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, that, it's weird as fuck. Like, a lot of you politicians are dumb as hell, because the shit that you give easy access to is not, you know what I'm saying, the shit that you should be focused on.
Yeah, and again, it's just a lot of mixed emotions for me, man, because again, I know it's only a matter of time before another one occurs, and we're having this same conversation that it comes up. So my thing is, again, what are next steps? How do we be proactive versus being reactive to situations and just saying, oh, this is unfortunate, you know, a massacre occurred again, and thoughts and prayers. Or, you know, another Trayvon that looks like us gets brutally murdered, and same thing, we just go protest and march, but what real change occurs? So it's just kind of just being fed up at this point, bro. It's really how I'm feeling about it.
And so to actually piggyback and to answer one of the questions that you did ask me last week, and which you just reiterated, I think that a step that we can take as regular people, as civilians, you know what I'm saying, that care about our babies, that want to protect communities, but people that are, you know what I'm saying, one, trained in gun control, you know what I'm saying, know how to operate with weaponry and can protect themselves, that have the time and the truth about them to take it upon yourself and patrol these neighborhoods. Not even patrol these neighborhoods, but just watch out for the babies, you know what I'm saying? Well within the law, well within, you know what I'm saying, what you can and cannot do, so that you aren't harassed or taken advantage of by whatever law enforcement, you know what I'm saying? But like, just the people that know how, get out there and do it yourself. If you have the time and you're willing to, get out there and do it yourself, because clearly they're not doing it for us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I had been thinking about. I've been pondering about that since last week.
I've been thinking about the student who said she had to cover herself in blood to make it look like, you know, she was dead because she didn't want to get killed, or, you know, so just thinking about it's tough. It's tough, man. I'm not gonna lie.
It is. And actually, like, I guess that kind of leads me into my closing remark on the topic, because I did just want to get your thoughts on it. But I was reading this too, and it goes like this. It says, love the people who don't understand you. Give the info to those that want to understand you. And the people that think less of you, they don't make you no mind. They don't make you no difference. You should never base how you operate on the perspective of others, because you haven't become the person that you're supposed to be yet.
Right. And that goes back to that cloud of judgment conversation, or, you know, that we talked about. Yeah, bro. I feel it.
Yeah, we don't get out of that. We don't segue. We can get into something a little light.
Okay, we can segue. Is it back on me, or are you still cooking?
I mean, shit, I kind of want to talk about how Buddy's legs was doing the noodle dance from Gervonta David. Did you watch the fight, bro?
Absolutely, I watched the fight. And I won. I won the bet. I had the over and under. I chose under that Gervonta would knock him out in less than 18 minutes. And I think it was like 17 minutes and like 40-something seconds.
Okay. But I think it was six.
It was six rounds. It was six rounds.
Yeah, nah. That shit was crazy. Honestly, I was wishing that them ropes wasn't there to catch his ass. Because all that bullshit talking, bro, what? Yeah. And for you to get slugged, obviously, I knew what was going to happen.
I'm not going to lie, though. The beginning rounds were pretty impeccable to me. You know what I'm saying? I thought we had a great, you know, they showed showmanship. Yeah. It was a great fight up until then, because that was unexpected for me. Well, again, I wanted that to happen because I was betting on the man. But at the same time, it didn't seem like the fight was just going there to where I'm about to knock him out one punch and that's it. But that just tells you how Gervonta's punching power is. Mm-hmm. Something nasty that I didn't like either was his post-interview after the fight. I can't think of Buddy's name who interviewed him, but he was like, Gervonta pretty much said, you know, this Glock don't have a safety on it. He was just like, I'm willing to take on whoever next wants to fight me. You know, I'm willing to take on the smoke. So he was talking about it in that facet, but the guy was just like, I don't think this is the right time to be, you know, talking about Glocks and safeties and all this stuff when a mass shooting just happened. He tried to correlate a black man's remarks about winning a fight and saying, I'm willing to take on my next opponent, to a mass shooting. I didn't like the correlation. I was just like, I really didn't like it. But that's neither here nor there. The fight was a great fight. I have nothing bad to say about it. I've always enjoyed all of Gervonta's fights.
Is that the nasty award for the week?
Probably so.
Yeah. Probably so. That has nothing to do, like, okay, for one, it's lingo. You know what I'm saying? And he's just talking his shit. And for two, bro, why? It's a boxing match. That's weird. Yeah, get him out of there. I'm gonna look for that one too, because I definitely want to see that. So I can find his name. Yeah, that's weird. But nah, it was a good fight. I wasn't expecting it to go how it went. Obviously, like you said, I wasn't betting, but I did want Gervonta to win. Because honestly, like, I watched the pre-fight interviews, you know what I'm saying, press conferences and all that, and the way Romero was talking shit, one, he don't know how to talk shit. Like, he was putting no fear in nobody, for one. And then for two, it was just like, bro, you got in the ring and got touched, and you could handle it. Mm-hmm. Like, his leg was like...
Yeah, it was doing a wobble.
It was something sick. He looked dazed and confused, got that ass out of there in six. So I'm definitely proud of how that ended up. But yeah, it was cool. Listen, boy, I went to Twin Peaks and watched the fight. So you know what I'm saying?
You got a Twin Peaks in Arizona?
Yeah. And I think I kind of like it better than the one in Atlanta. Yeah.
I figured you would say that. I'm pretty sure it's better.
What? There's some models in that thing, but we're not gonna go there. That's a whole different kind of conversation.
Yo, tell me.
The bar went up more. It was crazy. What's up?
No, my bad. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you good.
No, I was just saying, bro, to give me, you already know what I'm about to ask you next. Give me your predictions, you know, Golden State versus Boston. Let's unpack it.
I want Boston to take it, you know what I'm saying? But we all know Stephen Curry is a different type of person, you know what I'm saying? He don't miss for real. Like, yes, everybody got off days, but Tatum, Smart, they've been going nuts. They've been battling, you know what I'm saying? And that Heat series, I didn't think they was gonna make it out of there. But for that fact, I think it'll definitely be a good game, a good series. Come Celtics and Warriors. So
right.
We're gonna see. I'm sure you got Warriors though. I'm already knowing.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm basing it strictly off of experience and. I gotta go with Golden State, man. You know what I'm saying? They got a team full of top tier, individuals and gentlemen, and you know they're Hall of Famers. There's some Hall of Famers on that team, and they're a egalitarian team from top to bottom, bro. They have right. everybody knows their role in that team. They don't play hero ball. But again, I'm not counting Boston out either. I'm a big fan of Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, the Horfords of the world, like. They're dope too. You know what I'm saying? Like they're just as savvy vets too. And I don't know. I think Tatum has been getting a lot of slander lately because he didn't have the best series versus Miami. But what was pivotal, honestly, was him bouncing back from each of those losses that he had in the playoffs, and he was 6-0. And I don't know. I think people don't realize he's only 24 years young, and he has so much more developing to do, man. You know what I'm saying? Like he doesn't do everything great. But I feel like Boston is very scrappy. Curry got banged up last game, so we don't know what he's looking like. Clay is Clay. He's still Clay, but we can both concur that he's regressed since his two injuries. He's very streaky. He's very streaky. He still can give you 50. Let me preface it with that too. So he's not to sleep on. But again, I think Boston has a legitimate chance, man. And people are counting them out. People are counting him out. And let me go on the ledge and say this too. I might be on Gilligan. If Tatum wins his finals, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Ooh. Ooh. Now that, I don't know if I can. That's a tough one. And I like that. But I can't agree. I think he'll and so you might be on Gilligan with that take, right? But then at the same time, I do feel like there are some people that might concur with you, but I feel like he doesn't have enough skin in the game. Like, for exactly what you just said, the Celtics are a very young and scrappy team, and he's only 24. I don't think until he has enough time and development to where people are like, okay, he's bona fide.
I think he's bona fide now. You can argue, it's all subjective, but I would definitely say he's at least top 15. I can even say top 10, just depending on who you put in your 10, bro. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying he's in the top five, but he's definitely probably on the back end of the 10. But again, listen to this resume. If he wins the finals this year, first round, I beat KD and Kyrie. Mm-hmm. Second round, I beat the world champions and I beat Giannis. Mm-hmm. Third round, I beat Jimmy Buckets, the Miami Heat, Tyler Hero, number one defense in the NBA. And to top it off, in the NBA Finals, I beat Wardell, Stephen Curry. I beat Draymond Green, Steve Kerr, and all them.
Yeah, nah, that is a crazy ass resume.
Season. That's a
whole thing. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. Nah, you're right. Listen, you're absolutely right. Like I said, I don't know. I just feel like as consumers, we expect everything, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And we require, and I'm saying we, like, I'm one of these crazy fanatic, you know what I'm saying, type of people, but like we require a certain amount of proof, a certain amount of know-how before I can like, oh yeah, you a Hall of Famer now. But that, listen, the resume, what you just laid out, that shit is immaculate. I don't know who else has done that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
He would have to be substantial and continue his trajectory of the high level that he's playing at now. So if he won a title this year and he played like this for another let's even say 4 or 5 seasons, I think it's safe to say he's a Hall of Famer. I know right now it's still premature because he's, you know, he's been in the league for what, 6 years or less, and he's still trying to find himself, kind of, you know, he's still trying to figure it out, but he's definitely elite. And what I'm telling people out there listening is don't count Boston out the series. I'm not saying they're going to win, but shit, they're going to fight. And they can't. And in order to stay in this series, for it to go at least 6 or 7 games for them to win, they can't make those same mistakes they made against Miami. Because there was certain moments in that series that I felt like they were just trying to hand the game to Jimmy Butler. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just certain moments. There was just like, I don't know if it was a coaching issue or just them being inexperienced.
Right. Yeah, I will definitely give you that. We're going to see how it plays out. I do think that it'll be a hell of a series, though. I'm excited to watch this one, so we're going to see.
Right.
So, was there anything else in sports that you wanted to get on?
Let me double check here. Cardinals, Arizona Cardinals cornerback, Jeff Gladney. He passed away this week at the age of 25. That was some news that I heard. I think it was Monday morning. But here it is right here. Arizona Cardinals cornerback Jeff Gladney was killed in an accident in Dallas early Monday morning. The crash took place around 2:28 a.m. Monday, according to the Dallas County Sheriff's Department. A white vehicle was overturned when officers arrived. Dallas Fire Rescue confirmed 2 people, a male and female, were dead. On Tuesday, the medical examiner's office confirmed that a 25-year-old Gladney and a 26-year-old Andrea Mercedes was killed in the crash. Definitely, you know, thoughts and prayers out to them and their families. Just a tragedy, you know what I mean? I don't know if you knew who that player was. He's not, I don't know if people out there listening to him, but I sure as hell know who he is. And regardless if you don't, still rest in peace to that man. You feel me?
Right, no, for sure. Yeah, I definitely knew who he was, and I actually heard about it as well. It's tragic, you know what I'm saying? Accident, tragic things. But definitely, like you said, RIP condolences, love and light to his family, because that is a very, very, you know what I'm saying, difficult thing to mourn, to go through. So for sure, yeah.
Right.
And we can actually give him and his little moment of silence too, if you
All right, but all right, is anything in music popping right now? I think it's been pretty quiet since Kendrick came out. I've been seeing the rumors that, you know, that Kendrick's album, did it flop? Is it considered a flop because it didn't do the numbers that it said it was? And we made it talked about this last week. But I don't know. I don't really have anything for music this week. I'm just continuing to listen to that album, Kenyon Dixon, Dylan Sinclair, LMA.
Mm-hmm.
I've been riding that wave.
Yeah, so I haven't heard too much anything going on in the music world either. What I will say, Chaz, you're wild for that take. Just because he didn't meet the numbers and there was no, you know what I'm saying, hits technically on the album, I do think that it's a very, very special album. I do think that he shut down music for the next season. Mm-hmm. And then, and that's just my opinion. I could be on Gilligan, but numbers, we never know numbers, man, on here. You know what I'm saying? It's all about vibes, it's all about what the music is saying, you know what I'm saying? The expression, all that good shit. So
what I will tell you, bro, I don't mean to cut you off. What I will tell you, but something that just came to my mind. Music Fest did happen here in Atlanta over the past week.
I saw that. Yeah.
To kind of catch you up, bro. I heard it was like the fiery festival.
Really?
It was not good, I heard. The sentiments that I heard, for one, they cut off Erykah Badu's mic at the end because they were over on time. I guess it was curfew or whatnot. It started pretty late.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard like the monitors weren't working correctly. The speakers were having issues. So it was various things that went into the bad experience of why it was just like, okay, it's some dope music that's being played, but again, I'm not enjoying myself. I don't feel like this $100 or $200 that I spent was worth the experience. And so I heard a couple of people's frustration talk about it. And I was just like, damn, that's wild.
I've been seeing everybody out there, you know what I'm saying, on my TL, like everybody that I know was at the festival. And I didn't really get a chance to actually tap in with my people to see how it was, because I did not know that. But I was like, yeah, all my friends, they were either there for Wale, Erykah Badu, I can't remember who else was there. But
and if you want to be honest, that sounds on brand Erykah Badu. She do be pulling up late.
Yeah, she definitely does. But damn, how you going to cut Queen Mike, though? Like, shit, she a legend. You can't do that. You can do that to anybody else. But you can do that to one of the new age artists. But Erykah? Nah, that's disrespect.
I don't think that's the first time that's happened to her, actually.
Wow, they doing her dirty.
You remember she was on that, I don't know if it was a tour of her own, or I don't remember the exact details, but she did a few shows and she was just pulling up late. She didn't show up to one of them. It was, I remember that. That wasn't that long ago.
I don't know. That's crazy. But so you didn't, you weren't outside? You didn't go? You didn't want to be?
Literally, man, when I tell you I've been at work, just putting my head down and just stacking my tips, I'm trying to be three steps ahead.
Definitely. Sometimes you definitely just got to put your head down and miss out on shit, you know what I'm saying, to get where you want to go in life. And it's an important lesson to learn. You know what I'm saying? Fear of missing out is definitely a thing, but at the same time, everything is not for you to be in.
And I wish we get to a place one day where people don't take shit like that personal. If I don't respond, if I don't answer a call, if I'm unable to attend one of your events, it's never personal, bro. Again, everybody has something going on with their lives, especially right now. Like it is so, everybody's time is just very fragile right now. I feel like, you know, it's just a lot of shit that's in the air and people are needing to be all over the place. So,
and see that right there, that's really, I don't know. That's where they got us fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Cause you trying to place your expectation of me on me does not mean that I have to move in a manner that complements it. You know what I'm saying? That's your perspective, not mine. I'm going to do what's good for me. Maybe I don't answer your call every time. Maybe I'm just, you know what I'm saying, busy, or maybe I just don't want to talk.
I just don't want to talk to you.
Exactly. Like, you can't get mad at me for that. Like, you got me fucked up. Your expectation, your perception of me is not my responsibility. That's all that is. That is all that is. And actually, that kind of leads me into my next topic too, though, because I knew it was a thing before this. I just never knew the word. And I don't know why I never like looked it up, because this is like, I feel like one of the main plights of men, why we either, you know what I'm saying, succeed in relationships or not even like romantic relationships, but just in general. But so the topic is misogyny versus misandry. Misandry is the word that I just learned, that I knew it was a thing, but you know what I'm saying, I just didn't know what the word is. And it's basically the opposite. Misandry, yes. So we know what misogyny is. Misandry is basically women applying their expectations on gender roles on us. So the fact that you automatically assume that I have to be a provider as a man is misandry.
Misandrinistic? Because you know how you have misogynistic?
Misandrinistic? I don't know. Maybe.
Does that apply the same way?
Yeah, it might. But
what's the origin of this word? Can you tell me? Can you use this in a sentence?
Nah, dead end. But like, you know, just the fact that we are automatically assumed to be, you know what I'm saying, the and rightfully so. You should want your king, you should want your man to be the king of the house, the one that does put the team on the back. But in terms of maybe you and your shorty going 50-50 on things, or maybe she just wants to pay for whatever, and that's her perspective, not necessarily you pushing that on her. But if she comes with that whole, I can't be submissive to a guy that's not paying for everything, or being a provider.
My Felicia.
That's misandry. And I'm gonna give him his flowers now. Will Cuzzo, he says some shit that I love, and I want to get your take on it. Are 2022, are we treating broke women like broke men? Because you know they don't give us no light. If we don't got it, if we ain't tricking.
Come on, we sound like a broken record. We've been preaching this for a while. And this, I don't even think this is misogyny. I just think, again, if it applies to me, it got to apply to you too. So, again, the way you wouldn't talk to me if I was working at Dollar General and I was trying to holler at you, just because you're pretty and you got a wagon, don't mean, you know, I should shoot at you either. Like, I'm not trying to be judgmental. I try not to judge anybody. But they do it when a man shoots their shot, right? The first thing they look at. Probably if they're out and about, they're seeing what that man has on, or if they're at his workspace, they're definitely judging. Okay, he works at Dollar General, or he works at corporate Target. I don't know. I don't fucking know. You know what I'm saying? Like those are things that are going off. I feel like when
I'll call a spade a spade.
Yeah,
but in the spirit, I'm sorry, I'm gonna cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say in terms of the 50-50 debate, because this has been a very trendy topic as of late. You know, should you go 50-50 with your chick, XYZ? Mm-hmm. I look at it, man, if y'all are both in a partnership and y'all are both, you know, trying to grow old together and be better, I feel like why does it matter if we're 50-50, if I go 70-30, if you go 70-30 or something? Like, it should just be equal. You know what I'm saying? A relationship is a partnership. It's a two counterpart piece. It's not just I'm the man, I have everything on my back, and it's me against the world, I'm bringing home the bacon, I pay for everything. You know, it's egregious, if you ask me.
It is. And I do think that is definitely, like, it's situational, you know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, if the man is bringing home, you know what I'm saying, 100,000, and wife is bringing home 30, obviously, we're not going to put, you know what I'm saying, like, the bulk of the weight or expectations on her, because we know what the situation is. And maybe, you know what I'm saying, wifey doesn't have a problem with paying a couple bills or two. Maybe, you know what I'm saying, she prefers the 50-50, or she prefers the 70-30, or whatever the case is. But as long as it makes sense in your relationship, one, it shouldn't matter to anybody else, because that's not their business. And two, it's what works for you. Everything is not going to work for everybody. So that whole archetype is ancient.
If I'm a six-figure man, for one, I don't live above my means. I don't even do that now. Mm-hmm. So if I'm a six-figure man, sure, I got the bills or whatever, but I still feel like as my partner, you should contribute. Even if I was a woman, I would say the same thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. But again, I'm all about taking care of what I can take care of in my scope of support. And it's going to be a thing or two that I might need your help on, you know, because I don't have all the money in the world. And the likeliness of us seeing $1 million is very slim to none. Let's just be honest. We all want to be millions and quadruplers, you know, we want to see that dream happen one day. But again, the chances of that are so slim to none. So again, I think it's just unrealistic when these unrealistic expectations get put on us being men. And so when I hear, or just see the threads on Twitter of, you know, I want a six-figure man, da da da, he needs to do X, Y, and Z. It's just like, baby girl, that's like the 1%.
You know what I'm saying?
That's literally the 1%. And I'm not saying it's not feasible. You can go get you a six-figure man if that's what you want to manifest and it comes to fruition.
Can you though?
For you. But again, I feel like you have to look yourself in the mirror also. And this can be said for men. You know, we want a six-figure woman. But again, we have a job that we getting paid $40,000 a year at. You know what I'm saying? We got an 06 Honda and we got a one bedroom apartment. So again, what makes that woman want to desire or maybe attracted to us? Because at some point it's going to be more than just personality and he's just funny. You know what I'm saying? You got to come with attributes. You got to come with bandwidth.
You got to come with meat and potatoes.
Yeah, you got to know how to like provide for yourself. You got to know it's a lot more that comes into it than just, yeah, I want her to make six figures. Like, nah, what do you have?
It's misandry. That's what it is. And we're going to call a spade a spade. And let's circle back real quick, because in the spirit of Hoochie Daddy season, in the spirit of thy meat out, in the spirit of, you know what I'm saying, us men being outside and frolicking in the wind and enjoying life.
I'm never frolicking in the wind.
In the spirit of frolicking. You know, it comes back to that debate, misandry or misogyny, because a lot of the times we are the ones that, you know what I'm saying, are talked about in that light, because we, not even we, some of us may, you know what I'm saying, want our lady to be in the house, want our lady to take care of the kids, whatever the case, and I be the only breadwinner, you know what I'm saying? Some people still live in there.
But even that to me, that's just backwards. You don't want your wife or your significant other to just be themselves and want to do more for themselves.
You're absolutely
look like saying, yeah, no, I don't want you to work. I don't want you to do anything. I want you to just stay here, cook, clean, raise the kids.
It don't make sense. Unrealistically and unnecessarily placing that expectation on your partner is so outdated. And I bring up the frolicking and all that good shit because it's the same thing with how, you know, men shoot their shot at women. Sometimes it's aggressive, sometimes it's egregious, not aggressive, but egregious, catcalling and all that extra shit. Women, and by the way, women start to shoot their shot at you. I would say that. They definitely get their shit off, but...
They do it very incognito. You have to...
Oh, no.
It might be the slightest thing, but you have to pick up on it. And so I've been told, some game that's been told to me, if Shorty goes crazy on your page, like just likes hella pictures, or if she likes your pictures, you know, past demon time hours, possibly, it just depends on what you post on your story, but if she's hearting the story,
no doubt. And that's,
the last one I heard as far as on social media is the close friends. It's a possibility, you know what I'm saying? Like, that she may be trying to court you, or you may be one of the five candidates that's going through the interview process. You know what I'm saying?
You're definitely right. Now, what I'll say is too, though, that so that's one way. That's one way. But if we talking about we outside and they shooting, I've seen a lot of what we do in women, getting their shit off, how they've been getting their shit off as of late. And I tie that in to, you know what I'm saying, that debate, because we have been getting curved, swerved, whatever the fuck you want to call it, because of how we do things. And now the fact that the shoe is on the other foot, we have been called misogynists forever.
I think the lens that we're looking at it also, or that you may be looking at it, is from the social media plight, because we get the capsule of people that we talk to on the day in and day out that we may interact with. But I feel like as a totality, it may not be that. I just think that's what's portrayed on the internet and social media. And so we're automatically just kind of by default. Yeah, we're kind of just like have our backs against the wall and just feels like we have a chip on our shoulder, because it's like, damn. Like, yeah, hell yeah, I'm a man. I'm trying to prove to you that I'm a man.
Right.
It's very hard nowadays, too.
Slippery slope. Yeah, it's definitely a slippery slope.
So this
actually leads me to another question.
Yeah.
But were you about to say something?
I was just going to say, I just think from the perspective of social media, it may be shaped that way. But as an entirety, I don't think all women think like that. And I don't think all men think like that. You know what I mean?
I definitely know.
I'm just talking about the naysayers on social media who start those stupid ass threads that I really don't care about, but they end up
online. I definitely don't believe that all women are like that. Hell, I just met a shorty, you know what I'm saying, that took me on a whole date and bought me ice cream and dinner type shit and then took me back to the crib.
Oh, you so eat. Nothing.
that leads me into my next question, though. So let's say hypothetically, you and Shorty live together and somebody breaks into the house at night. Who's getting up out the bed? You or wifey?
I think honestly, whoever wake up first, they should be ready to fight. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it is what it is. They came in the house willing to deal with the consequences, good or bad. I think as a partner, I would preferably love to get up first. You know what I'm saying? If I'm the first one to hear the door open and some shit going on, I'm reaching for the toolie for sure. That's what I want to do to support not just her, but just support me. If we have a family, whatever it comes with, like I'm willing to die for mine.
No doubt.
I feel like she should have the same mentality. You know what I mean? Again,
yeah,
I see the deep ass sleep and I may not hear it, but again, it might be pivotal of you to grab that strap now, because that three to five seconds, that can make the difference in living or passing or transitioning. So I think in these times, we, you know, whoever you get with, regardless, y'all should just know how to defend each other, in terms of like when it comes to the right to bear arms. Like, you need that. You need that more than ever now.
No doubt. I love that answer. I fuck with that heavy. Mine, I say both of us. Like, now I want to be in front, you know what I'm saying? So that if I do have to, you know what I'm saying, catch a bullet, or if I do got to take a couple to the chin, you coming right over my shoulder with that motherfucking thou wow, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Also Mr. and Mrs. Smith type shit.
Exactly. So I feel like it should be both of us.
We ain't throwing down.
Exactly. Huh? Me leading. Because I need my shorty to be surgical with that thing too. So it's wraps. But okay. I definitely wanted to see, you know, where you was at. Let me see.
Yeah, I'm all about protecting me and mine. So I want my partner to have the same exact energy.
Yeah, of course.
I'm willing to die for her. Really, she's willing to die for me.
Are we really partners if I'm, you know what I'm saying, giving that energy and you not?
I will say this, though. It's easy to give a layout and give our feedback on how we feel about it now versus in the actual moment, because it's all adrenaline. You know, you hear somebody kick in that door, you don't know how you're going to react.
You're definitely right.
We can say all the things in the world that we may do. You know, I'm gonna come through. Like, remember how the Soulja Boy story? You know, I came in and pop, 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 pop.
Yeah.
We can always, you know, dress it up and make it pretty and say what we may or may not do. But again, it's those moments of when that adrenaline rushes, and hopefully not. But if you were in the situation, that's when you really get to see like the true definition of your character and your partners.
I got you for sure. That's it. That was much of my docket. Did you have anything else you wanted to get off?
I don't know if you really care to talk about this, but Winnie the Pooh, and yes, I did say Winnie the Pooh. I never thought the Bro Chillians would give y'all the Winnie the Pooh exclusive.
That's the take.
But they it's coming to theaters as a horror film, apparently. Pooh and Piglet are eating people.
Wait, what? You didn't just say that. You didn't. I don't know if I heard that right.
Yeah. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, the upcoming horror film based on the out-of-copyright book characters, will see Winnie and Piglet on murderous rampage after well eating everyone.
Why are they trying to turn our childhood into like darkness?
During an interview with Variety, the director discussed the plot of the upcoming horror adaptation, which has swept social media in the last few days. Blood and Honey features Pooh and Piglet as the main villains going on rampage after Christopher Robin abandons them to go to college. Christopher is pulled away from them and he's not giving them food. It's made Pooh and Piglet quite difficult. I'm not getting into the whole backstory of it. I just find it comedic and hilarious that this is about to be a horror film.
I don't like that. Because see, so we very well know that the way they deliver information, the way that they tell us things that maybe the powers that be kept a secret forever, is through movies. We very well know that. So my plight is, being a film buff and being, you know what I'm saying, in the film industry, is like, why? Where are you trying to take the progression of the film industry? You know what I'm saying? Where are you trying to take
the same place they're trying to take it when they put out Candyman?
That shit is sick to me, bro.
Like, I bet it's better than Candyman.
I hope it is. I don't know if I'm gonna watch it though. I'm not gonna give you this. I don't know, bro. Cause that's crazy. Cause for one, who asked for this? Who asked for you to reboot Piggy anyway? Wiggy, Winnie the Pooh. I said Piggy, Winnie the Pooh. And for two, why the fuck would you make it a horror movie? Winnie is all about his honey and his friends.
But now he want it back in blood. You feel me?
That's crazy. That's crazy.
What do you want it back in blood?
Hey, so him and Piglet. And if I'm not mistaken, I haven't seen the show in a minute, but wasn't Piglet like the scary one?
It was
Tigger, Winnie the Pooh, Eeyore, and Piglet. I feel like Eeyore was the one that was always on dope. He was the druggy friend.
Tigger, so you said Tigger?
Nah, Eeyore. He was on dope. He was the sad one. He was the stoner. You know what I'm saying? The that friend.
Wait, he was getting geeked up back then?
Huh?
He was getting geeked up on the show?
Obviously not on the show, no, but just from like the portrayal of the character, you know what I'm saying? He's very like sluggish, he's very like dull and just like, I don't know, negative. Or not even negative, but just like blah. You know what I'm saying? So it only makes sense for him to be off of something.
The same people who want this to come out are the same ones who want White Man Can't Jump, who wants the new Candyman movie. What else is coming out this year or next year?
There's a lot of bullshit coming out, honestly. Yeah, there's a lot of bullshit coming out.
And I don't know if you're excited for Avatar. We haven't really talked about it on the pod. It's supposed to come out Christmas or the week before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Is Avatar supposed to really just be the blue version of Black people?
Honestly, the fact that you said that, I don't think I can.
They're killing us. They're trying to make us obsolete. Like, is that what it really is? Are they making money off of us?
You might be onto something, King.
I'm just asking. I could be wrong. I could be far left.
I don't think you are. I don't think you are at all. Because remembering, you know what I'm saying, the first one, the last one. It is that. If we keep it in the book, it is that. So I agree. I do. I don't want it. I'm not asking for another Avatar.
If Avatar was real, you know, would you mess with any of the shorties that are Avatars? Would you mess with a blue?
I might have to dibble and dab just to see, like.
So you fuck
I'm the type, don't listen, listen, look, don't take this and run with it. But I'm the type that will try anything once. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. So you'll fuck what they tell.
Let me stop. They're gonna cancel me on this, bro. Let me stop.
Nah, I mean that's just how you feel, kid.
Hey, bro. I'm gonna get my shit off. I'm not even gonna hold you. And then I'm gonna come back to the team and I'm gonna let y'all know if y'all should double back. I'll take that. I'll take that for the team. That's hilarious. But
man, I think outside of that, that's all I really have for the docket this week. I just thought that was really hilarious.
Nah, that's crazy. They really doing Winnie the Pooh like that. That's sick.
Is he the cover art this week?
Might be. That's just let me see. Yeah, no, that was pretty much my doctorate as well. It wasn't really too much, like you said, in music and sports. We kind of covered all that.
Great banter, you know, perspective.
Always.
Yeah, man.
And for the other topics, you know what I'm saying, that we did kind of have, I'll let them go next week. I know there was a couple good ones that I wanted to get to, but we're gonna vibe it out. We're gonna mix and match, see what it's looking like.
Right. And I said this before we got on mic too, man. We gotta start continuing to engage on social media, like on IG Lives and stuff. Cause that was very entertaining before we hopped on today.
Yeah.
We need to get on Twitch. That's another one of those platforms where I'm kind of slow to, but I definitely see it's a community out there that does subscribe to watching podcasts and that kind of thing in real time. So
for sure. Yeah. I'm definitely going to get on that. Expect a lot more content from us individually as well as, you know what I'm saying, together. Expect, you know what I'm saying, progress, expect merch, expect events, expect all that extra shit. Just so, you know, we can definitely start to expand to different demographics that maybe we haven't touched yet. But we do appreciate the first timers,
the last timers,
and the in-betweeners, you know what I'm saying, for always showing love in every way that y'all do, and just giving us the gems, you know what I'm saying, the feedback and the flowers that y'all do give now. We wouldn't be here 152 strong without y'all. So
we'll be back next week, same place, same time. Yes, Sirski, everybody be safe out there. Stay prayed up, move with purpose. Check on your loved ones.
Continue to provoke positivity. And continue to move with purpose. Continue to discover new ways of loving yourself and developing yourself. And yeah, you know what I'm saying? And kick shit like that, I guess.
Bro Chilean's out.